Hello and welcome to this week's Key Voices. I'm Caroline Doherty. We will no longer be including the week's headlines in our podcasts, but I encourage you to visit resources.thekeysupport.com/newsbriefing and sign up for our news briefing, a weekly education sector roundup delivered to your inbox every Friday. Today, I am delighted to be joined by Tiffany Beck, Senior Consultant at PLMR and Chair of Trustees at Maritime Academy Trust in the Southeast. Hello, Tiffany.
Hi, Caroline. Thank you.
Well, I, for one, am very excited to have a governance-focused conversation on the podcast. So could you just tell us a bit about your career in governance and your experiences setting up a trust?
Yep. So originally, my background is in publishing sales and marketing and leadership development as well. I kind of stumbled into governance as a complete outsider. I started as a parent governor, and then it just went from there. So
snowballed.
Yeah, just snowballed, really. So when I came into it, beyond asking the why questions in school, because I was new to everything in governance and education here altogether, I was asking a lot of why about the system and the way that everything worked. And I had no sentimentality about it, so I wasn't precious about the way things were done. So I was just always asking why. And that's how it kind of snowballed from there into I was then doing governance. So I became an NLG, a National Leader of Governance. I was working in governance for Reach 2, and now I'm supporting the sector in a different way in communications for education. Yeah.
And in terms of setting up a trust, how was that?
So we started Maritime in 2016. That's when it officially opened. I started that with our CEO, Nick. That's been a real journey. So year zero, kind of before the year before we set up, it was just about getting it across the line and figuring out what we needed to do and understanding it and just getting to the point where we could open. The first year was all about spinning plates, and it was really about starting to shift mindset, because in that build up to opening as a trust, there was just so much about understanding the mechanics of it and actually what it was. Whereas once it was open, we had to scale our own mindsets, basically. So it was about understanding what a CEO is, what a chair of trust, a charity trust is. Mm-hmm. So it was really about developing that mindset and looking forward. And then once we hit our second year, it was much more about an organizational mindset. So it was thinking differently than just a school or a group of schools. And it was about thinking of a larger organization and all of the things that underpin the school improvement side of it. And looking forward to that. And so what we did last year in year three was all about the plumbing. We always talk about sorting out the plumbing. Mm-hmm. So that was about getting the culture right, getting the vision through, talking about the curriculum much more and all of the pedagogy that underpins that. We had to change our school improvement model to really scale that up. So it was about getting those systems into place and getting that off of the ground. And we did a governance review, so it was getting all of those mechanics into place. Getting all of the policies in, preparing for centralization as well. So last year was really about the plumbing, mm-hmm. whereas now this year is our third year, fourth year. And it's about embedding all of that we've been doing kind of over the last 12 to 18 months and getting that to be self-sustaining as well.
It's interesting. So it's almost like it wasn't really until kind of year three in some ways that you're actually developing kind of an identity. Mm. And more of a vision, because in the first instances, it's just about kind of getting going and moving and all of the legal bits and bobs.
We always had a vision for what we wanted to do. So our whole thing is about an entrepreneurial curriculum, and that was always what Nick had done in his one school, and then as he had the second and the third schools. It was all about that, and it was about getting children prepared for the future and learning skills and collaboration, and we do big projects where the kids will work towards that over the course of a term, and they'll then present to parents, they'll do all sorts of things. So we've had like an apprentice style thing where each of the classes were coming up with different products that they designed, and then they marketed and they did all of the research into it. So that was always kind of what underpinned everything mm-hmm. that we did, but it was just learning how to scale that, and especially yeah. as you start to grow and then you have schools who weren't there early on and weren't always doing that, so it's about mm-hmm. changing that culture as you go along. I think the other thing as well is that as we've developed as an organization and we've really developed that organizational mindset, there's been a lot more of just thinking about how the whole thing works, because you can't just roll a successful school or trust out of a box and bash it together and stick it you know, any head teacher or teachers into it, like you're building a bookcase or something from IKEA. You have to work really hard at it nonstop. And it's always in the midst of incessant policy change, stringent accountability levels, a teacher and head teacher recruitment and retention crisis, which is really, really challenging. And of course, a genuine funding crisis. And that's you know, made worse by the fact that a lot of school buildings have not really been well maintained. So that just exacerbates the funding situation. So you can never be comfortable and you can never think you've got it sorted because you have to constantly expect to get hit with the unexpected at any moment. And when you have those levels of complexity and stress, you know, it's no wonder it's so hard to get every school and trust staffed with head teachers and CEOs and volunteer trustees and governors who are generally up to that sort of a challenge. And I think you always have to have patience as well, which I'm really terrible at, but I'm learning, because you can't make things improve as quickly as you want. And, you know, one thing like a head teacher or a teacher leaving can suddenly set you back. So any change is difficult, especially if it's for an actual system, like a school improvement model. And there's a lot in terms of any organization, not just schools or trusts, but if you're implementing something new, you kind of have to prepare for an implementation dip. It's no different for a trust. You know, you have to prepare that when you're redesigning a system, there's going to be challenges to that. And I think what we found is there's systems previously provided by the local authorities that, you know, you used to have, and then you kind of realize it was all kind of in a superficial way, kind of pasted together. And the second you start poking at it, you realize it wasn't really fit for purpose. And I think kind of a big one that we've learned in that was HR. So you know, you would buy into that kind of support. But what we're able to do now, because we have our own HR director and a team that's supporting the schools, actually we're giving them levels of support that we were never able to give before. And governance was another example of that as well, because I think because of the more onerous and transparent accountability measures that you have as a trust and the responsibility you have as a charity trustee and company director, you have to put a lot more thought into scratching beneath the surface of everything. And really focus on the effectiveness and impact and why you're doing the things that you're doing, not just because that's the way it was always done, and actually looking for ways like governance for things to work better.
And presumably, as you say, with that increased accountability and need for oversight, there's more that you needs to be prepared for you and more kind of support and administration in the centre than the kind of traditional model of a local governing body, perhaps.
Yeah, definitely.
Just on that point, as you've experienced it, coming in as a parent governor on a local governing body, what do you think are the kind of main differences between being a trustee and just being a governor? I shouldn't say just being a governor.
Yeah.
As a governor of a local authority school myself, it is a significant role, especially as you say, as a volunteer.
I think the big difference is the scale and the mindset. Because every single school is its own complex and unique ecosystem. And I think, you know, I think the odd thing coming into education is finding that everybody has an opinion on how schools should be run, and everybody thinks that they could run it better. And it's this weird thing. And it's like Mark Lehane has that list of what is it called? The Parent Teachers for Excellence, where they have the list of all the things schools are supposed to be doing.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's that
first
sort of
aid and how to get to sleep.
Yeah, and teach children not to get bitten by dogs and other things. So you have this kind of system around you where everybody thinks they know how to run it, and it's one thing within one school, but then scaling that up to trust level is a whole different ballgame. And that continues to change constantly as you grow. That never just kind of stays the status quo. And so part of that is really focusing on the organizational mindset and how the pieces fit together and where the dots just aren't connecting. And it's about much higher level strategy and very different strategy because it's across an entire organization. And the way that we see it, the way we want to operate as a trust and the way that we see ourselves as a board, is we want to make sure we're providing the best support possible to our schools and that we're enabling them to work together in innovative ways and that we're giving them the space to be able to focus on teaching and learning. You know, we want to make sure we're creating career pathways and development opportunities for staff and that we're finding ways to measure what we value as well, because SATs and Ofsted are one thing, but it's not the be-all and end-all, and we can talk about that all day, but what we want is to focus on that entrepreneurial mindset in children, and that's what we drive through, and that's been our vision. And it's about giving kids the tools to approach things collaboratively and creatively in order to be ready for the future. And in order for that to happen, we need to make sure as trustees that there's a coherent set of clear strategies to carry out across the trust, but without making sure it's not prescriptive, so that schools are able to deliver that in their own way for their own context.
And you mentioned previously that kind of increased accountability for trustees, both with regard to kind of charity law and directorship and these kinds of things. Like, do you sometimes feel like, is that easy to manage as a volunteer? Do you feel like there's is it a fair expectation of a volunteer, the amount of responsibility and accountability you have?
I think you have to go into it with your eyes open. I think you have to really know what it is that you're going in for, that it's not, you know, you're going in just to kind of have a nice coffee and chat about what the kids are doing in school that week or something. Yeah. Like, you have to go into it with your eyes wide open. But if you go into it not only understanding the breadth and the depth of the responsibility that's on your shoulders, but the level of potential impact that you can have from that, and what value you're able to bring to that for whatever your skill set is or your background. And I think that's where it makes it so that it is sustainable as a volunteer, because you're getting so much. It's just so rewarding to be a part of something like that. So I think that helps to balance it out.
And as you say, I guess if you're dealing with an organization that is growing and developing, and you can bring skills from the outside world into that, you don't necessarily have to be as involved in the education aspects of it. I guess that's the model.
It does help to have a really good understanding of it, though, of the education landscape, I think, especially as a trustee, and particularly around, you know, academies and all of that. I think it helps to have a really good understanding of the context that you're operating within, and also how your schools deal with general policy implementation and everything else. So it's good to be able to understand that, but approach it from whatever your background is.
Yeah, and what do you think are the biggest issues or challenges that are facing, well, governing bodies either at school level or at trust level at the moment?
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest issues is around clear roles and clear goals. So
I like that.
Yeah. I think that's lacking a lot. So, I mean, I can't tell you how many meetings I've sat in on where the conversation just kind of gets a bit aimless or drifts into completely unrelated stuff, where it gets very operational, or, you know, sometimes about a parent's own child, or it's basically the head reading the papers out loud because people haven't actually looked at them, and that's quite obvious, and they're not prepared with questions. And you get to the end of the meeting and you just think, you know, what was the point of that? What actual impact was there? What value was added? You know, and at what point did the head have a light bulb moment because they were steered into seeing things from a different perspective? You know, and I think lots of times nothing has changed out of that. And so, you know, when you come out of a meeting, will the school improve in any way because of that meeting? And I've seen...
That's a really good question to ask, actually, of lots of meetings, I imagine.
Well, yeah, meetings. It's not just covering any meetings.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, especially because you're dealing with volunteers, you want to make sure that their time is used effectively and that the head's times are used effectively and everything else. So it's really about thinking about how is this actually moving anything forward. So it's, you know, it's the roles and the, you know, I've seen governors who think their whole role is to be, you know, an attack dog out to get the head teacher, or governors who think they're a PTA, or governors who think, you know, it's a nice, you know, tea and biscuit sort of thing. Or, you know, governors who expect reams of senseless data or documentation. And that's where it just comes in to waste a lot of people's time and creates a lot of workload and well-being issues for heads, I think. And I think that becomes especially clear as a trust, because you see such variation kind of firsthand, school to school. And also, as you develop as a trust, you come to realize what really isn't fit for purpose, where you need better assurance of good practice in the schools, and you start to really review your structure and the delegation. And I think trust after trust has either done that or is in the middle of doing it, or they're thinking about reviewing it, but they don't know where to start, and they're worried about upsetting the apple cart, essentially.
Yeah, it must be interesting for you, especially with your role as an NLG and the other work that you've done with other schools and trusts. You have a broader frame of reference as to what other governing bodies look like. Something I often think is an issue is that, you know, individual governors may not have access or have seen how other governing bodies run. Head teachers, until they became a head teacher, might not have seen many other governing bodies and this kind of thing. And actually, seeing it done in different and more effective ways could really help.
Yeah, I think there's what I've seen, and the more I've spoken to people, there's definitely not a one size all fits you know every yeah. structure and delegation that will work, and it really has to be tailored to any trust specific context. And I don't think anybody's gotten it quite right yet, to be honest. And you need it to be able to work with whatever your central operations team is as well, because you just need it working across all of the layers. And because that's constantly changing, you have to constantly keep governance under review. I don't think it's ever not under review, and you can't assume that you've sorted it. So we did a review in Maritime last year, and we're really rolling it out now this year. But what we've done, and this isn't, you know, what I think everybody should do, but we've changed the school level focus to the school development plan priorities, and they receive all of the information that underpins that, so the finance and the data, all of that, but that's there to inform the drive to ensure the focus and progress is on the area the school needs to develop in most. And we have an entire engine now to work with and oversee the schools that you never had in the local authority. You know, whether that's HR or finance or estates or operations, IT, digital, governance, school improvement, you know, we have all of these very personalized services that we're able to do that in a different way. And that means we're able to utilize the governing bodies to get people focusing on the areas each school needs the most. I think there's another big issue for boards at the moment, specifically trust boards, and that's the toxic narrative that exists around school trusts and having to work in and around that level of misinformation and volatility, because I think trust leaders need to take charge of the narrative and start telling their own stories and sharing their own challenges, both for themselves and for each other. And I think Leora Credis at CST is doing really brilliant work around this. She's really blazing a trail around all of that. And PLMR, that organization I work for, is doing a lot around this as well. So we support some of the country's biggest trusts all the way down the spectrum to very small ones to get their message out over all of the noise and share their good practice and help to steer them in the right direction so that they can start to help the sector and change the narrative rather than just have to respond to it. And that's why, you know, that was a brilliant move for me into PLMR. It's a chance to help the sector take control of the message.
Great. And and last week's podcast, we were looking at our report into trust expansion and in, you know, a sector that's emerging and evolving, as you say, making sure that people can get their message out and that people know what it is they're trying to do is really crucial and important. As I say, you're You started off volunteering as a parent and obviously have a really active role now as a chair of trustees. So you must enjoy being a governor. But as you were saying there, roles can be quite difficult for people to understand what governors are, what governors do, the difference, as we just discussed, the difference between trustees and governors. So what do you think is the best thing about being a governor, and what is one thing that you'd really like the sort of education sector or indeed wider public to actually understand about governors?
So there's a lot of really challenging aspects about it, but I think it's all made worthwhile by people and working with really incredibly dedicated people doing everything they can to have a really meaningful impact on children. You know, for us in Maritime, you know, we have 8 schools at the moment. We have a 9th school that's going to open next year. So at the moment we have about 2,600 children and over 400 staff. So, you know, those children depend on us to ensure they have meaningful and rich learning experiences. Those staff are depending on us to ensure they have the best opportunities to develop their careers. And it's not perfect. We don't have it, you know, the way that we want it to be yet. And, you know, nobody's gotten it perfect yet. But we know what areas we have to develop. We know what areas of strength we should be proud of. And we're collectively working flat out to keep getting better. And I think if you don't have a trust board and a central team that are absolutely focused and on the same page and completely open and honest with each other about mistakes and challenges, you simply can't ever be as successful as you can be. And for me, the biggest reward is the people. And it's the team that we've built and the children who walk through our doors every day and the drive that we all share to, you know, keep looking for ways to not just do things better, but to actually do better things. Which there's this book by Ted Dintersmith called What School Could Be. And he talks about not just doing things better, but doing actual better things. And that's what innovation is about to me. It's about not tweaking the same old things, but actually doing better things.
Stuff. And yeah, is there any particular kind of misconception about governors that you would like the wider public or education sector to understand?
I think going back to the talks of narrative around trust, I want people to realize that trustees aren't a bunch of evil villains sitting around twirling their mustaches. You know, trusteeship is about voluntary stewardship, the Nolan principles, you know, having a relentless focus on strategic direction. It's about really difficult conversations, but it's about the impact that comes from that. And it's about, I think, having an optimistic vision for what can be, but a really well-informed and realistic understanding of what is at the moment. And I think that's what the vision for school trust is all about. It's about educational charities striving to shape the future in a coherent way. And I get to do that with PLMR. I get to do that as a volunteer chair of a trust with people that, you know, I'm inspired by every single day, and I couldn't be more proud to be able to do that.
So, Tiffany, what exactly is your role at PLMR, and what kind of organizations do you work with?
Yep, so PLMR is a full-service communications agency, so we provide all aspects of PR and media relations, public affairs, crisis comms, media training, digital marketing, across lots of sectors. But we really have the UK's leading education comms practice. So we have Ollie Lane, who used to be at the DfE and Number 10, and I've come in as his deputy working with everything, single schools, school trusts of all sizes, universities, unions, education charities and organizations. We work with Confederation of School Trusts, you know, and what we do varies for everybody depending on the client. So it might be occasional crisis management, it might be strategic advice, it could be comms around a specific project like a restructure or a merger or any aspect of change management really. Or we might do everything from school letters to parents and staff or newsletters, managing social media, every facet of an organization's comms, basically. So we tailor that to every client, and we're there at the end of the phone as soon as they need us. But we've got a brilliant team. So we've got people like Neil Carmichael, who used to be the chair of the Education Select Committee. We have Mike Bramston, who used to be on BBC News. And I've learned so much since I started, and I've been absolutely thrilled to be able to support the education sector in a totally different and really brilliant way. And I think there's a lot of interesting practice going on in schools and trusts. So there's a lot of really inspirational leaders doing a lot of really important work. And part of what we do is we get to help them share their stories and their visions and to help get that message across, but also help take some of the stress off if a crisis does hit, because we're there at the end of the phone and we can help them manage that without being so emotionally involved as they might be.
Wow. So yeah, your professional work and your volunteering kind of linking together seamlessly there.
Yeah.
that's a great note to end on. Thank you so much for joining us, Tiffany, and for sharing your thoughts there on governance and some of your experiences within your trust. And thank you very much for listening. Key Voices is produced by The Key, giving education leaders the knowledge to act. Members of the Key for School Leaders can access hundreds of articles on the latest issues in education at thekeysupport.com.